The Big One, AM 1280 WBIG presents People to People, a daily news interview hosted by WBIG News Director Ron Newman. People to People features candid conversation with area newsmakers and community leaders and your telephone calls. You can join today's program by dialing 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now today's People to People and your host, Ron Newman.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes after 8 o'clock exactly on Friday, December the 5th. This morning, we kick off a six-day series on judicial corruption. We're calling it Judicial Corruption Week. On the phone with me right now, in fact, let's say hi to him right now, is a gentleman that we've had on the air with us before. His name? Justin Garriott. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Oh, I'm just wonderful, except I'm not real happy with this freezing rain and stuff we got going on outside. I know you're in the Chicago area, so you're probably getting the same thing where you're at.
I'm looking at white caps on the lake right now.
Are you really?
It's windy and blowy and cold.
You're right on the lake, then.
Indeed, yeah, right up north of Loyola.
Oh, I didn't know that. Today, Justin Garriott is going to kick off Judicial Corruption Week. As you know, he teaches people how to work pro se in the courtroom. And we've had him on before, and delighted to have you on again, by the way, Justin.
Thank you. I couldn't think
of anybody better to kick this thing off than you, actually.
I'm very honored for that. Thank you so much.
And you paid me good money to say that. So I
that part you didn't need to let slip out.
That's right. I shouldn't have said that.
That was the professional part.
I wanted to tell everybody the lineup. Today, of course, Justin Garriott. And then, all next week, Monday through Friday, we will have a blockbuster series of guests.
Yeah.
On Monday, we are going to have in the studio, we are very honored and just thrilled to have this lady in the studio with us. She was on the air with us a couple of times before. Her name is Rose Lear. She went on a hunger strike due to the fact that her husband ended up in trouble with the IRS. She went on a hunger strike. After she talked to me and my listeners here on the air, she decided it was, I think the next day, she announced that she was ending her hunger strike, really, when we implored her to do so and pointed out that, look, you know, they don't care. They don't care if somebody goes on a hunger strike. And she ended it. She did, and we're delighted for that. She will be live in the studio with us on Monday morning. We're anxious to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
By telephone, Joe Bannister is going to join us once again.
Mm-hmm.
Then, on Tuesday, December 9th, Bob Schultz, the president of We the People Congress, will be live in the studio. On Wednesday, T.J. Henderson, who I understand you know, and I'll let you tell people about him in a minute.
You bet.
He's a leading legal researcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he's going to talk about is kind of in line with what we talked about the last time you were on the show with us. He's going to talk about non-attorneys to represent corporations and individuals.
I've watched him do it.
Yeah, really, he's good, I understand.
Oh, yes.
And I guess he's gone head-to-head with federal judges?
Oh, yes, that and the United States District Attorney. I mean, I'd love to see that smile upside down.
Well, then on Thursday, December 11th, a regular guest to this show every month, State Senator Chris Lawson, right here from our town of Aurora, Illinois, will be in the studio. It just so happens that Senator Chris Lawson has himself sponsored a judicial recall bill. Then, to wind things up, on Friday, December 12th, Mark Sato, another legal researcher and consultant. Mark will join us on Friday to discuss how we got into this judicial mess in the first place. And also, he's going to talk about the Judicial Reform Act of 1947, which I understand plays an important part of this whole Judicial Corruption Week. Right now, let's re-welcome my guest, Justin Garriott. I think probably the best way to introduce people to judicial corruption is to have you tell the listeners about an article that I received not all that long ago. It was a reference Judge Edith Jones. Now, Judge Jones is of the Fifth Circuit from Louisiana. And she did something, I think, which is unprecedented. She got up in front of a Harvard class law students, and she told these young men and women about the court system, the judicial system, was corrupted beyond all recognition. So if anybody out there thinks that Justin Garriott and the other various guests here are just blowing smoke, you've got a judge of the Fifth Circuit from Circuit of Appeals, right?
Yeah, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is at 600 Camp Street down in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And Judge Jones appeared up in Harvard, apparently, before some sect of Harvard law students. I don't know. I can't claim familiarity, the President's Club or something. But essentially, what she said has gotten around the country pretty quickly, I think, and it's coming back to haunt her. But what she told those students was that the courtrooms in America were corrupted almost beyond recognition. And she went on to talk about how earlier in the first century here and in the last century, or the early part of it, lawyers read Blackstone and they were trained properly. And she made some comment like, if you see the new movie Chicago and Richard Gere plays an attorney, everybody respects him and she says too many lawyers still believe that that's, their profession is like that, and she said it's not. And basically what she was saying is that law is a business, or it's become one, and the practice of that business is totally corrupted from, I guess, seeking the ends of justice, which is what we common people have been fooled into believing that's what goes on in court, which in fact it doesn't, mostly.
Did she point out any specifics to these Harvard law students, or do you know?
Well, specifics in what way? Do you talk about specific cases and how they went bad?
Well, either that or some particular cases of corruption, how the courts are corrupted or how they became corrupted, of course, which is one of the things, naturally, that Mark Sato is going to address next week.
I'd have to say that the article that I read, she didn't say it that way, but I don't have it in front of me, but one of the big things I remember she talked about was that attorneys litigate now for different reasons. They do a lot of things simply to make the money, and they engage in attempts to win cases sometimes at any cost as long as that money's there. In other words, Senator Joseph Biden actually said it some time ago. He said that the doors to the American courtroom are effectively closed to the average American. It's either too expensive or they don't know the legalese involved in getting it done themselves. And, of course, when they learn it and go in pro se, the courts don't like that, although you have every right to do it. So I've seen courts make it rough on pro se litigants right up front to try and shake them out of the trees. But I must tell you that I and others that I know, some others that I've trained, and, in fact, when I get off the phone today, I've got a major decision. We're going to go listen to the judge, Judge O'Brien, and Chancery is going to read it to us this morning. I have a corporate client who's a multimillionaire, and yet he has decided to go pro se. Now, why would that guy do that? Because it empowers everybody. Now, that's what's, there's so much. By the way, we ought to say, too, that when we talk about corruption, there's all kinds of corruption, so without having to name a whole bunch of bad things, what I'm referring to and what Mike Brown taught me, and corruption means an abuse of power. And quite frankly, abuses of power go on constantly, almost all the time in most courts, especially if you're in the criminal system. There's an enormous abuse of power because you're not thought that you're innocent until proven guilty. Once you're arrested, the court believes that you're guilty, and it's just a matter of which slot they're going to fit you in and process you before it's done. I know because I've been there and had to defend my own, felony and criminal charges, which I've done successfully. But I mean, I've been in the meat grinder itself, and I watch it. And now the other thing I would say about that is this. Being well trained as a pro se litigant with a lot of experience, etc., attorneys and judges especially, they just do not expect you to be that good. They don't expect you to know what you're doing. And if you do know what you're doing, you can get into a court procedure, for example, a little more quickly, a little more deeply than they're prepared for you to, and catch people off guard. You know, and I have then gotten some respect from judges. Once you show them up front that you know what the skirmish is about, and I and some of my people have gotten respect from judges, and I've gotten it right here in Chicago. We got a couple of judges downtown that looked at our adversaries and said, okay, what do you say to that? So what I'm telling you is, yeah, it's corrupt, but it can be done. You can learn your way through the court system and do it for yourself and your family and protect yourself. Of course, that's part of what we do here.
Yes, and I have had a few, not a lot, but I've had a few attorneys admit to me off the air.
Mm-hmm.
They say that, I said, well, why can't a trial just get to the truth, which is what they're designed to do, to get the truth out. You know, never mind all the other hoopla, okay? I've had several attorneys tell me, they say, look, if you're looking for truth in a courtroom, you're barking up the wrong tree.
So absolutely.
He said a trial isn't, it has nothing to do with the truth.
No.
It has to do with the prosecutor and the defense attorney putting another notch in their belt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And I've been through that. I'll give you an example. This is how disgusting it really is. There's a gentleman in Indianapolis who was out, he was an insurance salesman, so he was not selling investments, but he was out selling a pay telephone type of management contract.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was for, I forget the Paytel company name, but at any rate, here he has a book, a sales book that he takes out with him when he sees his clients. And in that book, it lays out, I think it's called Alpha Telecom. It's one of the big, big, big case things in the country right now. And in that book, it shows the prospective buyer that you can buy the phone and that you can get a management contract to take care of it. And also, there's two attorney opinions, individual attorney opinions in that book that Alpha Telecom or whoever the marketing company for them was got these two opinions from these two different attorneys to say that this was not a registerable security. Okay, so the guy is out selling this stuff. He's got a booklet that he uses. It's actually a binder, and it's got this. It's got these two opinions in there. So he shows this to everybody. Nobody believes that they're selling a registered security, and the state of Indiana didn't even know about it. Okay, a year or two later, after he sells it, he's beating the state of Indiana pro se in another case. The Indiana state, the prosecutors talk to the SEC, and the SEC in Indiana decides to make Alpha Telecom a registrable security a year or a year and a half after he sold it. Then they arrested him for it. Now, that's a post hoc rationalization. That's almost, I mean, you know, they made it illegal a year and a half later. He's the only person that's been arrested for that in the entire country and convicted. And here's the point. Were they after the truth? No. What the prosecutor did successfully up front was argue with the judge, or argue to the judge, before the trial started, that the book should be suppressed as evidence because he couldn't cross-examine the two lawyer opinions. The highly technical objection there, and we're telling the judge, wait a minute, if you don't show that book to the jury, they're going to convict him. Which is exactly
what they wanted.
Did. Exactly.
Yep.
Now, there you have it. I watched it happen right in front of me.
Boy.
You know, it happens all the time. So what happened, you know, there you have it. So when you learn how to handle that kind of thing, and we couldn't that day. I mean, the guy had gotten an attorney because he got scared. So I was sitting at the counsel table with the attorney. The guy wasn't pro se anymore. And the attorney did not handle it well. And this guy is still in a halfway house. So the point is, you know, it can go bad for you. And nobody's after the truth in court. Justice is an ephemeral concept that is almost ridiculously elusive in a court. You know, so when a friend of mine once taught me that the root of the word lawyer and the root of the word liar are identical. I went and looked it up. He was right. What are we doing looking for truth in courtrooms? What you need to do in a courtroom is realize that you're going into battle. not just in the courtroom, but within the context of the pleadings themselves, you train yourself to take care of stuff like that, and you can watch it go a different way. We do on a regular basis.
That's what Mike Brown said. We had him on the air with us, too, a couple of years back, and he was saying, look, you go into the courtroom, the judge is working for the state or the county, the prosecutor is working for the state or the county, and if you've got a public defender, he's working for the same thing.
Well, so is the jury. Jury's being paid by the state.
That's right. In fact, who was it? Somebody, I think it was either Fred or maybe Tim Wingate, who, by the way, will be with us next week, too, at least 2 or 3 days next week. And somebody, I forget who it was, maybe you know about this story. They got up and they said to the judge, can I pay the jury, too?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Dwayne Rogers used to ask that question. He would always say that if he was in front of a jury, he would say, if I paid you more than they would you fine for me? You know. But what that does is it lets the jury realize, wow, everything is slanted here. You know, we're all being paid out of the same pocket. That's not much. I mean, as you know, Mike Brown is my teacher.
Uh-huh.
And he taught me how, like at the federal level, how they'll seat a jury. You know, they'll put a mailman on the jury. And what'll happen is the prosecutor will call over to the postmaster and lean on him and say, we want this guy real, real bad. One of your people is going to be on the jury. And then the postmaster will lean on the mailman saying, you got to do the right thing here. They want this guy. He's a bad guy. That's how you get a jury member influenced. And, of course, he's feeling pressure because if he doesn't move to convict, he might be losing his job. See what I'm saying? It's ugly. It's incredibly ugly. And will they play that way? In a New York minute right here in Chicago. You bet. So what happens is with Brown especially, it's warfare. That's all it is. And to me, it's pretty much the same thing. We see it pretty similarly. And what I like to do is set up for appeal from the very beginning. So when we start briefing stuff, when a pro se litigant starts laying it down, what we call land pipe, you know, you got to lay that pipe to the junction so you can turn left and turn right and get out.
Yep.
Judges begin to get surprised. The other side begins to get surprised. And the next thing you know, you got a full-scale legal battle on your hands on something they thought they were going to get a slam dunk on. That starts running up budget money. Risk management starts looking at something. Is it going to get in the papers? I mean, you start suing policemen and that sort of thing, prosecutors, judges, etc. You are rocking and rolling their world there. Learn how to do that. That's the point. Learn how to discipline government one person at a time. If that's what you have to do, and let's face it, with as many of us as there are, that have been violated and get violated all the time. Can you just imagine if lots and lots and lots of people knew how to go in and file tort claims against government actors? We could clog the courts with it. Just the predatory lending alone in Chicago. I was astonished when I got here and tied up with some people. T.J. Henderson is a guy. It's a good thing you're having him on.
Really?
Oh, yes. And this guy's phenomenal. And he's done some stuff I haven't. I mean, I've won cases, criminal and civil, and my people have and all that, but I have never stood to represent anybody yet in a court, and he's done it quite a few times out in the Northwest. He's from the Northwest. And I believe he moved to Iowa. And I have been present in a federal courtroom in Chicago while he gave it to a federal judge. I mean, I was watching him pound that podium and point his finger in that judge's face. And he eventually prevailed to be able to represent a small corporation without being an attorney. You should have seen the United States District Attorney. And it's an IRS case. I mean, I love this guy. Okay? The guy's got, you know, brains and backbone. That's what it takes. It doesn't take a law degree. It's not brain surgery. It's also not for children or morons. This stuff is powerful. But when you learn your court system, when you learn to read court process, when you learn that, you know, it is an argument. And this is how the argument goes. You file a complaint, you file a defense, you do the answers, you do the counterclaim, blah, blah. When you learn the mechanics of it, which is what we teach in our seminars, and that kind of thing. And when I take a case, it's, you know, we train the pro se litigant directly. Once you start doing that and it stops becoming Greek to you, you stop becoming afraid of it, You stop becoming afraid of going to court. You go into court and you see how other people handle their stuff, and pretty soon you get a little bit of savvy. You read some appellate decisions, and you start talking in the language and the decorum that the court wants to hear. The next thing you know, you get the court's ear. I've done it many times.
I'll tell you what. We have to take a break. We'll be back with my guest, Justin Garriott, after these messages.
Experience Bethlehem the morning after Jesus' birth at Fox Valley Christian Church. Enter town and place your name on the census taker scroll. Proceed to the marketplace and be assailed by the sights, smells, and sounds of the food booths, craftsmen, and townspeople. Underlying the festive atmosphere of the marketplace is the excitement of the new baby. Everyone in town has an opinion about the unusual child and his parents. In this interactive town, you will use all of your senses to bring the Christmas story alive. This adventure, for all ages, is located on Wilson Street, one block east of Randall Road in Batavia. Walk through and 20 minutes or wander the marketplace as long as you'd like. Friday through Sunday evenings, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. No admission fee, no donations required.
Can you enjoy the best new movies in a comfortable and spacious setting? Presenting the Bloomingdale Cinema in the Bloomingdale Court Mall. This week's features include The Last Samurai, Honey, The Missing, and Bad Santa. The Bloomingdale Cinema, featuring DTS Digital Stereo, offers free refills on soda and popcorn and has gift certificates available for all your holiday gift-giving needs. The Bloomingdale Cinema is at 324 West Army Trail Road by Walmart in Bloomingdale. Call 630-529-1000 or visit VillageTheaters.com. Dave's Pizza, located at 146 East Lincoln Highway in Hinckley, has the most delicious pizza around. Come in and try Dave's famous old-world-style thin, thick pan and stuffed pizza. Choose from over 15 different toppings. If sandwiches is what your taste buds desire, well, look no further. Dave's has the best tasty Italian beef, Italian sausage, pizza puffs, and, of course, Italian meatball sandwiches. If it's ribs you want, then it's ribs you'll get, and much, much more. Brian and Robert, Dave's Pizza, with delivery 7 days a week. Call 815-286-7071.
After 200 years, the Gracie Manor is finally for sale.
Evers and Evers Real Estate.
This house haunts me.
I don't think it's a good idea to put that information on the listing. You should talk about how many bathrooms are in the house. I think that'd be best.
On November 26th, the mystery of the haunted mansion will finally be revealed.
What happened here, Mr. Gracie?
Eddie Murphy.
Now showing at Cinemark Tinseltown, USA in North Aurora. For showtimes, go to Cinemark.com. Employers, business owners, salespeople, are you unsure just how to say happy holidays to those people you appreciate in your life? Sweet Tomatoes has a delicious and healthy way for you to do this and save money at the same time. Gift certificates. These festive little cards will say thank you again and again as they dine at one of Chicagoland's most unique soup, salad, and bakery restaurants in the area, Sweet Tomatoes. And now through December 31st, you can receive 5, 10, or 15% savings when you buy $100 or more worth of gift certificates. For more information, call 800-689-1684. Hungry for a great-tasting sandwich? Then go to Cousin Subs in Naperville. For a limited time, pleasure your palate with the new Primo Pasta Chicken Sandwich or the new Mighty Bold Roast Beef Sandwich. When you come into Cousin's after 4 p.m. and buy two regular subs, you'll get a third for free. Cousin's also has party subs and party platters that are perfect for get-togethers of any kind. So run out to Cousin Subs at 1239 East Ogden Avenue in the Ogden Mall, right next to the Ogden 6 Theater in Naperville. Cousin Subs, your appetite will thank you.
Kim and Cindy welcome you to Prairie Stitches Quilt Shop, 4775 Route 71 in Oswego. Prairie Stitches brings you the latest in fabrics and the newest trends in quilting. They can help you pick up where Grandma left off. From patterns and books to notions and quilting supplies, with new fabrics arriving every week. They even offer quilting classes. Prairie Stitches Quilt Shop, 4775 Route 71 in Oswego, 630-554-9701, 630-4-9701.
Questions and comments are welcome for today's program. Dial 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now more People to People and your host, Ron Newman.
And welcome back. It's 834 and a half. Justin Garriott with us this morning on the phone. We are not going to be taking any phone calls this half hour, or probably in the first hour, unless it's maybe late, because we have a lot of information that I want Justin to get out. Justin, before we go any further, I want to go back a few years to the O.J. Simpson case. Now, yes, this is all water over the dam. I realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting when the Constitution says that people shall be tried by a jury of his or her peers, a jury of his peers.
Right.
How many former NFL superstars were on that jury?
I wasn't.
You weren't.
No, and, none. I mean, obviously.
Without belaboring the point, you see where I'm going with this?
I believe I do. Who were his peers?
That's right. Where were they?
Yeah.
He didn't have any peers on that jury. Now, his case, he was acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the defense attorneys didn't have that point to argue.
Didn't have to argue it,
have to argue it.
Yeah.
So I guess basically what I'm getting at is, what about the jury selection process? You touched on it earlier where they said, well, if they really want somebody on a jury to try to get a conviction, they can do that.
Oh, sure they can. They'll put them there. They do it all the time. And
would you go so far as to say they can and or do select a jury based on the decision that they ultimately want?
I believe that at the federal level and in important state cases, that in criminal cases, that prosecutors or the government itself, maybe not the prosecutor, but somehow when the government really needs to win a case, they will do anything. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal. People have been killed over cases. Attorneys have been murdered over cases, okay, that they don't want to go bad. So they'll certainly seat a jury. Now, the question that you bring up is whether or not what his peers are, and I do not have an answer to that. I do want to avoid that question. And I don't know. And I think it's a great question. Who are his actual peers? And here's what I would say, and faced with a question like this, if it was a professional question I had to find out about, I would be researching Supreme Court case law on what the definition of a peer is and how that might or might not fit or work. Also, as a technical point, I would tell you that the time to argue that is not at the end. I mean, if Johnny Cochran or whoever really was responsible for doing the voir dire or the jury selection, that's the place where you want to settle on your jurors. At the end of the trial, if they don't give you what you want, it's pretty difficult if you were part of the jury selection process to go back and say the jury wasn't properly selected, you know. So it'd be the cart before the horse there. But still, it's a good philosophical question. And when a black man is on trial, say in the South, and they're all white jurors, does he have a jury of his peers? Jury of his peers if they're half, if six of them are white and six of them are black? You see, I mean, so that question can be applied elsewhere.
That's right.
Where we need to think about the answer.
That's why I think these cases are so important to keep in mind. The other thing that I want to ask you briefly, and then we'll take this conversation basically where you want to go with it, Justin.
Okay.
I just have one other question.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the concept of which we have a right, according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, jury nullification. In other words, the jury is the ultimate power in a courtroom.
Oh, indeed.
Over the judge, over everybody.
Well,
if they decide, in jury nullification, correct me if I'm wrong, if they decide, they say, look, yeah, this guy did this, he's guilty, I mean, he did it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know what, the law itself stinks.
Right.
We're not going to convict somebody on this. Not guilty.
Right.
Boom. It's a done deal, but you know what? Illinois had a constitutional convention back in 1970,
uh-huh.
and they took jury nullification out. And now, when a judge gives his instructions to the jury, he tells them words along the effect, that the jury is instructed to judge the case on the merits of the evidence provided and da-da-da. They are not allowed, and the law as I explain it,
right.
you know, as I present it to them, and that they are not to judge the law. That's against the Constitution, Justin, isn't it?
Well, jury nullification is an old, ancient thing, and it is a specter that these courts do not want around. They do not want juries to know how much power they have. In virtually every state, you are not allowed to mention a jury trying the law. There's only a couple states that I know of. Indiana is one.
Yes.
Where it says right in the Constitution that a jury is a trier of both the law and the facts. So, let me talk about jury nullification here real quick. If you are in a state where the jury is allowed to, now the word determine is important there. If you're determining both the law and the facts, you don't, if somebody lays down a shotgun in front of you, but you suspect that the prosecutor and the police, et cetera, they're lying and they're framing this guy, you have the right to say, well, that looks like a broom to me. As a juror. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
And that's the way people get around you, because you're not allowed to raise the words jury nullification. If you start saying that in your opening or closing statements or bring it up, the judge will chastise you big time. They will object, etc. But the truth of it is, jury nullification is alive and well. It's, I don't know how well it is, but I think it's individuals are learning more. So I'll say that right now it's alive and it's on its way to being well, and more people are discovering it. Now, when the jury can say to the judge, in a state where they determine both the law and the facts, we'll determine what the law is here, okay? But in Indiana, the judge still tells them that, you know, they're the trier of the law and the fact, but then he reads the law to them. You see what I'm saying? So they do what they can to keep a jury from nullifying a case. But that is there for, because the jury is there, very much like a grand jury, they're supposed to stand between an accused and the accuser to be sure that there's a fair trial here. And they're trying the merits of the case, actually, or normally when you say the merits of the case, you really talk about the rights of the parties, I think. But in terms of if you're in a state where the jury is not allowed to determine the law, then you can, in a closing argument, tell them, look, you're the one who determines the facts. You don't determine the facts as given to you by the prosecutor. You're the one who determines whether or not that's a bag of marijuana there, or maybe that's alfalfa. Do you really want to send this high school principal to prison for having marijuana? You see? So they get tough choices put in front of them, yeah. Jury nullification is something that obviously everyone needs to know about. Courts would be very, very different if it was allowed in.
Hmm.
Yeah, very much.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's move on to something else here.
Sure.
Considering the fact that Judge Edith Jones got up in front of a class of Harvard law students and dared to tell them the truth, which she said she is receiving repercussions from doing that.
I would imagine
that.
Which
is no surprise.
Yeah.
What do you suppose, in your opinion, anyway, what do you suppose is the biggest problem in, I mean, is it with regard to the prosecutors? Is it with regard to inexperienced public defenders, you know, people that are maybe just out of law school for a couple of years, they go to work in a prosecutor's office or in the county or whatever as a public defender, so they're, you know, they're kind of getting their feet wet, which they have to do, I understand.
They're getting their feet wet making deals. They're not trying cases, believe me.
And, or is it on the part of the prosecutors? Because I know there's a lot of fault to be laid there.
Oh, boy.
Or is it on the bench?
How about changing the words or to and?
See, all three?
Well, sure. Let's just do this real quick. Remind me to tell you the story of a judge in, I think it was in Persia. But first I want to tell you about a prosecutor. 125 years ago or so, there was no professional prosecutor.
Okay. I heard that, yes.
Well, here's one of the greatest evils in our country is to have a professional prosecutor secured by the state that pays the judge and the jury. Now, a prosecutor, if I was a person knowledgeable in the law 150 years ago and you got in trouble and someone hurt you, you know, where they could be prosecuted, you had to prosecute them yourself. You had to go get a private, independent person who might or might not be an attorney, and they carried your case. Now, if what happened was, in the process of investigating that case, I found out that the other guy really didn't do this to you, maybe somebody else did and you didn't realize it, I have to come back to you and say, I cannot prosecute this guy because he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, would that happen today? Let me tell you what happens today.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Please, hold that thought.
Sure.
Tell us what happens today in that scenario. Well, after we take this break, we'll be back with Justin Garriott here on AM 1280 after this final timeout.
Grandma, Mommy says your holiday recipes are secret.
Well, dear, because you're my favorite, I've decided to pass them on to you.
Wow.
I go to GFS Marketplace.
Huh?
Gordon Food Service Marketplace. I shop for all my holiday events, small or large. It's easy to get in and out, and the service is absolutely wonderful, unlike those crowded superstores. At GFS, there's over 3,000 quality products, including pre-cooked, ready to warm and pop in my good china.
You mean everything but your famous jalap potatoes?
Dear.
Your meatballs?
No.
You mean your holiday cookies?
Yes, GFS pre-shaped dough.
Mommy wouldn't pay to go to a club.
Oh, no, my dear, GFS Marketplace has no membership fees.
So Mom could host a holiday dinner?
No, dear, that's our little secret.
GFS Marketplace with 9 convenient Chicagoland locations. See your Yellow Pages under Party Supplies for the location nearest you.
Folks Transmission Works in Aurora reminds us that this holiday season is a time of joy and happiness, but a drunk driver can change the scenario immediately. Do your part. Don't drive drunk. Corks Transmission Works is wishing all a safe and healthy holiday season. This special message is courtesy of Corks Transmission Works, located at 445 South Lake Street, Route 31 in Aurora. Since 1973, Corks Transmission Works has been covering all your driveline needs, and they also repair four-wheel drive and SUVs, standard or automatic. Corks Transmission Works cares about the safety and welfare of our area, and they wish everyone happy holidays.
In 1805, William Truefitt of London had a vision for a gentleman's barber shop, one that would cater to the most discriminating of tastes. The Truefitt and Hill line of prestigious men's grooming products would soon travel the globe and be found on the wreckage of the Titanic. This distinguished line of men's products has entered the 21st century with the same dignified stature it had at its beginning in its modern line of gentlemen's shaving, fragrance, and bath products. Truefitt and Hill products are available at Dean's Clothing in downtown Naperville. Truefitt and Hill, the mark of the true gentleman.
Hey ladies, once you try the new threading hair removal technique at the Hair Garden Full Service Salon and Day Spa in Westmont, you'll never wax or tweeze again. Hair Garden also offers temporary henna tattooing, manicures, pedicures, and so much more. Call 769-0100 today for an appointment at the Hair Garden, located on the corner of 63rd Street and Fairview in Westmont. That's 769-0100. Hair Garden, in relentless pursuit of perfect beauty.
One love, I'm David Black.
And I'm Garth Laird.
Join us every other Friday at noon for the Caribbean Travel Show, presented by Sandals and Beaches Resorts.
Get information on how to have the ultimate value vacation at one of our ultra all-inclusive resorts across the Caribbean. We will direct you to the destination that's right for you, of course, with help from our travel agents and from Air Jamaica.
You'll also have the chance to learn all that Sandals and Beaches has to offer by listening to the Caribbean Travel Show right here on WBIG 1280 every other Friday at noon.
One love.
Chicagoland, it's been a long time since a unique restaurant has come into our area with the taste, style, and atmosphere of Camille's Sidewalk Cafe. Located in the Shops of Geneva Commons across from Galleon's facing Randall Road, Camille's will fast become the destination point in the Tri-Cities. Its warm atmosphere and great menu will attract and keep customers coming back every week.
Hi, I'm Pat Agostinelli, owner of Camille's Sidewalk Cafe, and I'm inviting you to visit Camille's. Once you try our grilled hot wraps and paninis, you'll be hooked. Our food philosophy is not about the bread, but all about the filling. Please visit Camille's to eat, relax, and enjoy.
Just look for a bright green sign for Camille's Sidewalk Cafe, located in the Shops of Geneva Commons, where nothing is common, especially Camille's. Phone 630-845-0600. That's 630-845-0600 for Camille's Sidewalk Cafe.
Visit Le Patisserie Cafe and Sandwich, specializing in French bakery and catering, and specializing also in pleasing the palate in a comfortable atmosphere. Open Monday through Saturday, beginning at 7 a.m. and open for lunch and breakfast. Try our famous quiche Lorraine, omelets, croissants, and extra large muffins. For lunch, try our roasted veggie sandwich, grilled panini, or lime chicken bruschetta. We've also got a terrific tiramisu that's known all the way to Wisconsin, and we've even got a kids menu. That's Le Patisserie Cafe at 9 North Main Street in Sandwich, or by phone at 815-786-1640.
To join today's program, dial 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now back to Ron Newman and today's People to People.
Yeah. Justin Garriott is on the line with us. Justin, just before the break, you gave us a scenario, which I'll ask you to just briefly review. And then tell us what happens today in the same scenario.
Well, we were talking about prosecutors, and I was saying that professional prosecutors are a great evil. And the reason is because the only thing they're concerned about is, can I get a conviction? Okay? And they're being paid by the state. And the way they advance is not by reputation because they're good attorneys, et cetera. They advance when they get convictions. Okay, that's what they're known for. And they will get convictions at any cost. So how would that go today? Here's how it went in Indiana when I got a guy out of double felony charges, sent him back to his wife and baby. He got in a fight with another guy who'd stolen some stuff from him, and a friend of his had tricked this second guy to come over to her house to look at the trees, and this guy stepped out, and, hey, I want my stuff back, and they got into it. Well, the cops came out, didn't witness anything, but made statements against our guy, and he got arrested, and he was going to go up for a felony. Now, what I did, it gave him a nifty little fight and showed him that the cops' statements were identical for two different people. It couldn't be so. But here's the point. The guy who brought the charges that he smacked in the jaw, he went to the prosecutor because he was in trouble elsewhere. He didn't want it to come out. So he said, well, I'm not going to prosecute this guy, you know. But the prosecutor said, well, we're going to go forward anyway. Well, you're going to go forward on what? Your policeman didn't see anything. The guy who brought the charges to begin with has come in and said he doesn't want to prosecute the case. And you're going to prosecute a case with on a policeman's word where he wrote that two different individuals, because he had his buddy there, committed the exact same thing, and his friend got, you dropped the case against his friend? Well,
wow.
We've got a policeman. And what Brown taught me a long time ago is they'll go ahead, and I've seen case after case, they'll go ahead and prosecute something because they'll do whatever they can if they think they can get a conviction. And this female prosecutor down there thought she could get one up until the very end. And then finally, we put the prosecutor in such a bad way between her and the judge that Judge chastised her and told her if you couldn't get this, you know, tried properly, he was going to throw it out. So she moved to dismiss it. The state moved to dismiss it. It can be done.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So you are up against the system. Every one of those elements that you talked about earlier, the judge, the prosecutor, even the defense attorney, I mean, even a guy that's not necessarily a public defender, 99% of all criminal cases are plea bargained. That means most attorneys, anybody who's listening right now, if you're a defense attorney, you have to admit that what you do mostly is not try cases. What you do is you make deals with prosecutors. I mean, in the federal rules of criminal procedure, there's pages and pages in there in fine subscript. And even in that book, they say 95% or better of all criminal cases are plea bargained. Get an idea now why 10,000 people a year who are completely innocent and thousands more who are not near as guilty as the charges that come at them because the prosecutors stack them up.
Yep.
You know, these people go to jail because their attorneys say, hey, make a deal, which means tell them you're guilty. And let's see if we can get you out with a slap on the wrist.
Let's go for a lesser charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They want you to plead guilty to something you didn't even do.
Well, or in here's what an attorney will do. He gets your upfront consultation money. He finds out how much money you got. How much money you got is how much work he might do or she might do. But when you learn to check the docket yourself, you can find out that you've given attorneys thousands and thousands of dollars, and there's one motion in there because the average number of motions done by attorneys in criminal cases in this country is 1.2. So you kind of figure out, well, was that a motion in limine? Was it a motion to continue? I mean, what did you do there, you know? But it's so easy for an attorney to sit, listen to your problem, not have to work at it at all, pick up the phone, call the prosecutor's office and say, here's what I got. You know, what do you want out of this guy? What can I get here? And a couple of phone calls, maybe a meeting, a hearing or two, and you got sold, you know, bent over the pickle barrel. Now, if you weren't guilty, and it was a fair-sized case. And I tell people, look, all this stuff can happen to you. Your daughter decides, she meets a new boyfriend. She's been dating a guy 6 months. He's a splendid guy. It's wonderful. She's out one night, and dad lends the car. He says, why don't you take our car? The boyfriend's got a little bit of pot or cocaine on him that she doesn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she gets pulled over for traffic violation because they're being silly in the car for whatever reason, and they're allowed to search him. They find the drugs, and both of them get popped for felony drugs. Okay? My phone rings then. You know, was she guilty? No. But guess what? She's going to be charged because it was in her car. And it was with her boyfriend, and nobody's going to believe she didn't know about it.
Yep.
Okay, so tell me you can't get into it. And let me tell you something else. I've got a client here in town. These people, very decent people, mortgage company, sent a fax in error, an advertising fax in error, to a local lawyer. This guy called them screaming, threatening bodily harm to them, then took it downtown to a big law firm. He's now in a class action suit. They're looking for hundreds of thousands of dollars for an errant fax. And when the guy's attorney called him the other day to see what they do about settling, they wanted $12,000 because he sent a fax in error to an attorney. Of course, we found out the attorney had been disbarred or had his ticket lifted for about 3 years. We're investigating him now. Now, that is what I call a scumbag. You see what I'm saying? So that case is on my desk, and we're going to turn around and sue this guy for harassment, for bringing this case, and for calling these people up. Because there is a law. Thing is when you read the brief against my client, they don't allege that he did it on purpose, which is what the state statute requires. So,
you know what? I've got about 2 minutes left here before we have to start running the closing theme.
Sure.
And I have two lines ringing. Would you be willing to take a couple of quick calls?
Why don't we tell people how to get in touch with us first so they can get away?
Let's do that.
Okay, this is North American Paralegal, and our telephone number is here in Chicago, 773-743-8317. And you can get a hold of us directly right there.
North American Paralegal?
Mm-hmm. 773-743-8317. And my email address is jlawreview, R-E-V-I-E-W, at prodigy.net. Okay. And sure, I'll take your callers.
Prodigy.net. Got it. Okay, let's take a couple of quick calls.
You bet.
One anyway. I don't even know who's on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on with Justin Garriott. How they hung up?
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Didn't get to him fast enough.
A prosecutor, probably.
Yeah. If you have a brief question, I've got about a minute and a half before we start rolling the closing theme. If you do have a question for Justin Garriott, give us a call right now. You've got to call us right now at 585-1280. In the meantime, oh, wait a minute. There's somebody.
There you go.
Good morning, caller. You're on... Well, let's see about this one. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Turn my radio down.
All right, go ahead.
Has Justin heard of Linda Kennedy?
Yes.
Yeah, can you guys give her a boost or something? They just fired her, and she caught them changing the records, and she's got them videotaped and everything.
Yeah, she did.
I'm glad you know about her, because this should be all over the news, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's struggling
to
get it out.
Going to the Supreme Court. Is anybody going to help her from...
Oh, she's been to a lot of people for help.
Like
you know?
Your guys?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we know her. You bet.
All right, ma'am,
She did. It's a bad thing that's happening to her. You're right about that. They're railroading her.
All right, let's take another quick call. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Ron. Bob from Plainfield.
Go ahead, real quick.
Just a quick comment. Ran into a buddy of mine I hadn't seen in some 20-some years. Who was a state's attorney, become a lawyer some 30 years ago. And he's telling me about the people he's prosecuting for cocaine charges and whatnot. And then he's telling me about the cocaine that he does himself.
Oh.
Incredible. Just incredible when you talk about the correction.
Right. Hey, right. Listen, thanks a lot for that call. That was an important thing to say on the air.
Well, you know, it's just amazing. When you look into things and just how bad things can possibly get, it's just amazing. Justin, I want to thank you for being with us this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Again, if people want to call you, the name of your firm is?
North American Paralegal. Can reach us here in Chicago, 773-743-8317. 8317.
Or at jlawreview@prodigy.net.
That's correct.
Justin, very interesting program this morning. Thanks for kicking off Judicial Corruption Week, which runs Monday through Friday of next week as well. And hopefully we'll catch up with you very soon.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Justin.
A pleasure.
Stay tuned. The Big Marathon Information Hour begins at 9 o'clock this morning, and we will see you bright and early Monday morning here on AM 1280.